Well, it's heartwarming to have a positive reaction to what you're doing, but I think we need to keep a focus on this. Something very devastating happened to the environment, and I try not to celebrate individual accomplishments because we can never undo what happened out there, and I think a forward commitment to making sure that the job gets done and the Gulf gets restored is where we need to be. It's great to get the feedback on the performance, but I think we need to really focus on the problem.
So you're no longer involved day-to-day, but I'm sure you're watching carefully. What still needs to be done? What do you hope happens down to the Gulf region?
I think there are probably three lines of operation for the federal government here. One is the continued response that's being carried out under Paul Zumkopf, the two-star admiral that is leading the Unified Area Command in New Orleans, and that's making sure the oil is out of the marshes to the extent that it can be, the beaches are clean, and that we move to a transition where we actually agree with the local leaders on how clean is clean and when the job is done. That's one. The second is something called a natural resource damage assessment that is required by law. And that is an assessment that's carried out jointly by the Department of Commerce and the Department of Interior, who are the federal trustees exactly, to determine what damage was done, what the extent of the injury is, and what should be done to repair the damage. And again, BP is a responsible party, will be responsible to pay for that. The third line of effort was just established last week with the issuance of Secretary Mabus's report and the stand-up of an ecosystem task force that will be headed by EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson to look at the long-term recovery issues associated with the Gulf.
What were some of the biggest challenges of getting this job done from a federal government perspective?
Well, aside from the technical issues associated with controlling the well and oil recovery,
yeah,
I would say the single largest issue, and it is in any crisis, is unity of effort and taking together the combined resources, capabilities, and competencies of the various departments and agencies and understanding their authorities, jurisdictions, and knitting that all together to create a whole-of-government response that doesn't disenfranchise anybody. And that's an enormous effort. We don't have the monolithic unity of command that you see in DOD, so what you try and strive for is unity of effort.
And you had federal, state, local. You had multiple states involved and multiple agencies involved. How did you get everyone going in the same direction?
Well, first of all, you got to get agreement on the goals and what it is you're trying to accomplish, and then you have to make the means and the ends of that as transparent as you can so everybody understands what is being done. I think one of the huge challenges associated with this response was that BP was carrying out the responsibilities that we had directed them to in accordance with their role as a responsible party. But because of the way the procurement system works and everything else, because there was no visibility of what was going on, there were a lot of inferences made about whether or not they were doing the right thing, whether or not they were subordinating corporate goals to cleaning the environment. And I think the general lack of transparency and opaqueness of all the processes that were involved would lead the public to believe that maybe not everything was being done that could be done, or questioning motives. And I think that's a huge challenge.
And one of the interesting parts of all this was, in a way, there was almost so much transparency that we got different. It seemed like every week we got a different flow rate coming out, and so I think it led Joe or Joanna Public to think that, oh my goodness, they don't know what's going on. Almost, was there too much transparency in some way?
Well, I would give you two responses to that. I told one reporter, in fact, I told several, if you don't have a number, it's a credibility issue. If you have a number, it's a credibility issue.
Yeah.
And I think that has to do with the extensive media coverage. But in regard to your statement, I don't think there's ever going to be a major crisis in this country in the future, whether it's a tsunami, an earthquake, a hurricane, devastating wildfires, or anything, where there won't be complete public participation in what's going on, either because of the media that are involved, non-governmental organizations, people using social media, and anybody that's going to be running one of these large responses and trying to create unity of effort across the government is going to have to understand the public is going to participate, and you need to make allowances for that and make it easier for them to do it, because they're going to do it whether you can do it or not, and they can get access to where you're at. They can be on the web, and it's just a part and a feature of these responses moving forward.